I just gave it to you. Hey, I gave it to you. Nope. And what I had to learn was, actually, maybe, and this could be wrong, I'm not claiming this is right, but what I experienced was the gospel is kinetic. It has to always be on the move. It can't sit still. The second it sits still, it probably finds a way out of the still space to find some space to be kinetic in. Like, I got to get out of here. I got to be able to move and bounce and ping pong, right? And that's, I think, largely what happened in RV space that led to the kingdom of heaven on earth showing up in one of the darkest places you ever find in your life in Eugene, was that kinetic gospel. I just, hey, take it, give it, share it, and receive it right back from someone who maybe doesn't even know what the heck they're handing back to you. It doesn't matter. The gospel figures all that out on its own. So this reality happened organically in that space. I just experienced it. And then we started to try and figure out more formally and more strategically and structurally, human brain stuff, sadly, how we keep that going in a place like the village. Next slide. So we kind of think we may have figured it out. It's called villaging. Well, at least that's what we call it. And it's not rocket science, which is good because I'm not a rocket scientist and likely you are not either. It's a verb, though. It's a doing. It's an action. It's a move, right? Like I just said. So it's, and it doesn't sound like much on a slide like this. I'll read it, but it's not much, but we'll talk about how it's a lot. When more than one person helps take care of one another, one other person's individual issue or need at the time. An example that was given to me by a villager. Hey, let's say your car won't start. You don't have jumper cables. You don't have a spare battery. You need someone to jump to start your car. You go tell another villager. They tell someone else. That villager tells me, I have jumper cables. I go out and help jump the car. It's done. Just like that. So simple, right? But of course, doesn't it make sense that if you're going to create a universe of humans, a world of humans, that are going to be responsible for spreading this kinetic, beautiful thing called the good news, the gospel, it's going to have to be pretty simple. Because we mess things up really bad all the time, usually. I do anyway. So this came full width recently where a pastor of a church in town called me and said, Gabe, what do I do? I get up every Sunday. I preach the same messages. The same people are there. Like, where's the kinetic part? I want the energy. Because you read those stories, like the ones you read this morning, like, if you picture that setting in your mind, you're like, wow, what a charged space that story is. Like, what's so much happening in there? And I said, here's maybe what you might want to try. Is on a particular day, and this is for anybody, you, me, everybody. Whatever this looks like for you, you got to put your kind of personalization on it. For me, this is what it looks like in my brain. When I get up in the morning, this is a nice day example. We're running out of those. I put my sandals on, and I have a backpack and I throw a couple peanut butter jelly sandwiches in there and I stuff my pockets full of the gospel. And I just go out into the streets, wherever my community is, wherever there's pain and suffering, and I just start handing that stuff out like crazy. And then that kinetic popcorn starts to occur. And all of a sudden you find yourself having the kingdom of heaven on earth because it's the gospel is the kinetic thing moving, is creating belonging and community for itself right on the planet Earth's surface. That's what the village is in essence. Because we didn't think about it. We didn't do any studies or sketch pads or any of that. We just kept being attentive to that kinetic energy of the good news moving between humans. And it was very messy, very messy, very hard at times. But just let that messiness kind of roll through you like a wave or whatever. And you might have an experience that I get to have at the village all the time, which is why I want you to come visit largely. I want you to have this as well. It's so sweet and beautiful. It's like, imagine your favorite tasty treat, like chocolates was mentioned. Imagine your favorite tasty treat times a million. So here's what that treat is. It's finding hope where hope has no business being. So, for example, some of the stories I could share with you on another Sunday of where people are at and what they've gone through when they arrive at the door of the village would blow your mind. It blows my mind away all the time. Like, really? wait a minute, like Chuck came through last week and that was like the most depraved story of humanity I've ever heard. And you just like went three leagues lower than that guy. Like, is there no end to the sadness and madness? I don't think there is, probably. But in the midst of all of that, I look at these folks and they start to belong. They start to connect. They start to have their basic needs taken care of. They start to tend to those bigger things in their lives where they need that extra support. They start to find an outlet for this so they can give this. And then they take it back and they receive and it starts to popcorn. And all of a sudden you're finding hope where it had no business being before. And I think that might also largely explain why the village has gone from nothing to a lot in just under 3 years. We celebrate 3 years of being open in January. And that's a lot of growth. Let's go to the next slide, please. So, villaging, what I would suggest is gospel as a verb. It is compelling, as we've talked about. It is kinetic, and it is contagious. But only if you take your constraints off of it. You cannot seek to control it, manipulate it, or even decide where the thrust of it goes. It's got to be a full release engagement, which is tricky for the human mind. But it's working. So Everyone Village starts out of nothing 2.5 years ago. We get a little bit of city funding, not as much as you'd want, and we start building some stuff. Sewer, electric, tiny homes, blah, 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 blah. And before I know it, there is an enormous amount of unexpected characters coming to the village for reasons I cannot understand or make sense to me. And they're taking what they're experiencing at the village and they're going and doing it everywhere else. A great example of that is something called Team Oregon Build. I'll tell you a little ditty right here before I wrap things up and bring this back into the sweetness of Jesus Christ, who is actually running the village, not me. I just mess it up all the time. So we're building tiny homes because that's what you need to run a shelter and housing, right? You got to have something to put humans in. And with 4 acres, we didn't have like a big mission. We had to figure out little individual units. So we're prototyping out one, building one on our own, trying to figure out what you do with this, right? And we make a cute little one. And, you know, as prototypes go, it wasn't perfect. It was too small. So we got together again. We said, okay, prototype number 2, a little bigger. Yeah, yeah. Okay, a little bigger. So this next one we build is 8 by 16 feet. You can see some students standing in front of one in that picture. It's built like a little home with housing materials and housing typology. So it has a door and windows and insulation and drywall and sockets and trim and blah, 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 blah. And a roof and shingles. And when we were doing that, by chance, or the spirit, a local high school shop class says, hey, that's really cool. Can we make one? And we're like, I guess you probably could. What do we got to figure out? We got to figure out how to get you some materials, I guess. So you can build the, and we'll take it when you're done and use it for sure. A lot of people need help. So we call Lowe's. They're right around this corner. You guys know where Lowe's is. So we call Lowe's. Hey, can you come on over to the village? We got an ask for you. I was going to ask them, can you shrink wrap a set of materials and deliver it to a school for really cheap because we don't have a lot of money? That was the ask. Lowe's guy comes. Lowe's guy, his brother's homeless. He cries his way through the village tour. And he says to me, Gabe, I'll shrink wrap whatever you want, and I'll do you one better. Because this is so important, I'm going to take Everyone Village and move you into our category that we reserve for companies across the U.S. that spend hundreds of millions of dollars at Lowe's every year and get a great discount because of that volume of business. You're not going to do hundreds of millions, but I'm going to give you the discount. So what that looks like in practical reality for that cute 8x16 tiny home, insulated, energy efficient, awesome human platform. If you went down to Lowe's today and got everything you need to make one in your backyard down to paint and light bulb, you're looking at about $11,000 in material costs. With our discount from Lowe's, $4,500 gets you the same set of materials. And then what do high school shop classes not do? They don't charge labor. What's the most expensive part of any labor project or any building project? It's the labor. But what are these high school kids getting? We don't know. We got to figure that out. So then a bunch of other teammates come from Pivot Architecture and the state of Oregon, and they're all just coming in. We're not making phone calls, people. We're not making phone calls. We're not sending emails. They're just showing up at the freaking front door like, how did you even know we were here? Well, we heard. We thought we'd come check it out. So now it's called Team Oregon Build. The state, Governor Kotek decided to, she caught wind of it, and she says, oh, this is good. We need more of this. Gave us $3.5 million. There are now over 60 different schools in the state of Oregon and over 9,000 high school shop class students building cottages of hope, which is what we call them today. Well, it's Sunday. Tomorrow, they'll be back at it all across the state supporting their everyone villages and their communities. And those students, because of now we're up with the state on this, have a pathway towards a trades career you would drool over if you were in high school. If you do Team Oregon Build as a high school shop student your junior and senior year, you graduate with a slew of trade certificates, OSHA certifications, CPR first aid, and what's called trade credits, that then your name gets on a list that goes out to the major trade employers across the state. And those employers love those lists because those lists show them, these are the people we want to hire. These people are ready to go and get her done out of the gate. The lowest wage a Team Oregon Build student can make after graduation is $28 an hour. The lowest wage. That's for a new guy on crew, learning the ropes of a trade company, $28 an hour. That is a game changer. Now these students are likely to never need an Everyone Village. Also, see what God's up to here? Tons of weaving. Like, he is yarning like you, a madman of yarning. Mad God of, happy God of yarning. Sorry, I got there. Raise your hand if you're aware the state of Oregon has a massive, unwieldy housing and homeless crisis. You should all raise your hands. We do. Right now, it's expected that if we want to catch up with the deficit of housing we have in the state and keep up with the pace for the next 15 to 20 years, we need almost 500,000 housing units. The rough cost on that's $30 billion. Guess what is never coming? $30 billion just for housing and homelessness. That's not going to happen. Also, another problem, even if the money did show up, we don't have enough workers. That's one of the big problems. So look what he's doing. You see what he's up to here? He's killing a bunch of birds with one stone. This program helps us to get shelter units across the state for no cost to the people helping to run the shelters. That's huge because we're all on crazy nonprofit government-funded budgets, which are shrinking by the day because of the budget shortfalls all our government entities currently face from the national level down. It's multi-million dollar locally. And in the process of doing that, he's created a pathway to get some workers in the trades so that we do have skilled laborers to build more houses in the next 20 years, because we got to get that figured out if we're going to figure out the other piece, which is the money. Otherwise, what is the point? So now that idea, that Kingdom of Heaven on Earth act of community belonging and justice between two people, what I couldn't stop thinking about in the class this morning was, all a big justice problem like the Middle East or our housing and homeless crisis here in America is a bunch of humans having injustices between themselves, and it's just building. And it just gets so big to the whole nation has the injustice, right? But it really is you and I. We got to start there. We got to get the injustices between each other going back into that justice space, because that's where it kind of can, that's where from the ground it swells up. It's hard to come from the top down. It doesn't work really great, as we know. So now, high school students across the state of Oregon are coming to Everyone Village for field trips and tours. They're learning about the problem. They're connecting with humans fundamentally different from themselves, seeing that it's human-human. You're messed up. I'm messed up. That doesn't matter. We're still human-human. And they're spreading that kinetic energy of belonging, love, service, justice. Now, all over the state, 9,000 students, like that's moving the needle now on what it means to infuse your community and serve your community in a Kingdom of Heaven on Earth way. Now, to be fair, we use all sorts of colloquial phrases to express these kingdom things, because we're infused with public dollars, we're partnered with public entities, we talk to the governor's office all the time. These people don't like me to talk this way. But largely, all I got to do is a little bit of translation, and they're tracking. I mean, they're tracking, and they're figuring it out, and they're living it out, which is critical, because that lesson gets into your bones, that experience of that sweetness of the kingdom of heaven on earth gets into your system, and you know it's different, and you like it a lot, and you can't wait for more of it. And even if you don't have the words, I don't think God slows down because you don't have the words at all. I think he keeps right on moving with your heart. So, multiplication. right? And we learn this in the text. Addition is just way too slow. It has to be multiplication to change. To change the face of anything, you got to multiply. And it would seem to us that the village, for some reason, not of our own doing, the village is generating a ton of multiplication of goodness and kingdom of heaven on earth truths and realities. And now it's gone into high schools. We won't meet the majority of students will never meet them. But because they're connected to the story, look at the multiplication. Next slide, please. Okay. I'm all fired up. So, I'm never not fired up though. As you all know, as awesome humans, if you're going to do anything hard in life, you got to know the why. You got to start with the why. Then you can get to the how, and then you can get after it. But if you don't have the why, certainly if you're headed into something really difficult and challenging, like trying to restore justice in your life, trying to restore justice between you and your community, trying to restore justice in your own head and heart and the dissension in there, you got to know the why. That's what gets you through the hard stuff. So this is a story I'm going to share with you. The name is going to be changed to Protect the Innocent Guilty, however you look at that sort of thing. And this is the why. I will call it the story of Debbie. That's not the real name. And neither are these people the real Debbie, but they reflect a moment of hope and healing like Debbie's story does. Or how a tiny village and a lost soul found each other, the goodness of the gospel, and grew up together. So here's the why. And then after the why, I would like to talk to you for just a second about what's next together. Because have you heard in the story, maybe the most prominent factor in the story of everyone's village, which everyone who encounters the story has a similar reaction. Wow. How did that happen so fast? How did all this come true so quickly? We're going to learn why. So I meet Debbie. Who remembers Washington Jefferson Park when it was a homeless camp? Okay, you all live in Eugene, I see. I met Debbie in that camp under the pillar of the bridge. She was tucked up against the pillar, in mud, in a tent, in a relationship with an abusive partner, because when you're a female on the streets and you're homeless, you must have a male partner, because you need to have at least the knowledge of who's abusive to you, as opposed to strangers. It's just a really hard truth of life we have to understand and accept here in our community. So that's going on, hoarding to the nth degree, piles of stuff like you would not believe, and riddled in methamphetamine addiction. So this is the state of the human of Debbie. And I'm charged with trying to get Debbie to move from pillar to village. At this time, village is like brand new. Not much going on there yet. Doesn't want to do it. Doesn't want to move. Scared, hopeless, no belonging, none of the stuff going on. Finally, get Debbie to the village. In month 0 to 3, no change in her life at all. None. She just slept more. Because when you're on the street, you can't sleep. You got to keep one eye open at all times, or you're going to get hurt really bad when you do fall asleep. So just sleeps. That's it. Only change in her life. Months 3 to 6, begins to trust that she's safe at everyone's village. And so what does she do? Deadbeat abusive guy, out of her life. Only change. Only change. So now we get to months 6 to 9. No changes. Okay? All we've achieved in the first 9 months is some more sleep, and the abusive partner's gone. In months 9 to 12, puts methamphetamines down. Only change. Months 12 to 15 keeps the methamphetamines out of life. Only change or stabilization, right? Month 15 gets a job at one of our workforce programs, the recycling center, where people have employment right on site. Only change. Then in months 15 to 18, like you can tell, it's actually happening. The smile's back. The uprightness is back. The health is returning. The hope is in the eyes. The teeth are fixed. All of it's happening. And she comes to me and she says this. Well, Gabe, I got to say, I've been doing really good at the recycling program, and I'm earning a lot of money, and I need a bigger coffee can to keep my money under my bed in. I said, well, you know, it is safe at everyone's village, but that's still not a great way to store your money. In fact, there's some ways you can store your money and actually have it earn you a little bit of money. What did we talk about that? Well, one of the outcomes of any extended period of time on the streets is institutional distrust. And she looks, and I said, hey, how about a bank account? Okay, I get it, institutional distrust. I understand. But I couldn't help but notice that every Thursday at 1 o'clock, we have a required all village meeting. Every Thursday for the last 2.5 years when we do that all required lunch meeting, a different church has brought a hot homemade meal for everyone, and we've all eaten it together every week. This time of the story, we're at 70 villagers, and so it's about 80 people eat lunch together every week in the resource center. It is crowded, madness, fun, exciting, thrilling, crazy, all of it. But we break bread together, homemade food, every week. It's awesome. So I say to her, I notice when we have lunch, sometimes that really cool neighbor of ours, the lady with the silver hair, she comes and you always hang out with her. Oh, yeah. She's my buddy. She's Kaylani's a sweetheart. I said, that's pretty cool. I'm glad you made some friends while you were here. Do you know what she does for a job? I have no idea. She's just my sweet friend that has lunch with me sometimes. Well, she runs the OCCU Credit Union branch on West 11th. Huh. Would you sit down with her? Well, I guess I would. She's my friend. So because of that relational connection, that belonging, she now does go into the bank, and she now does open a bank account. And since then, I'm happy to report that she's grown her employment. She's worked with our financial partner to do a community savings match program, purchased a vehicle, is now working with the Chamber of Commerce, one of our huge partners, to take advantage of a sewing job in the community, has inspired her kids to get off the street because she's part of a generational homelessness story. We have those in our community in spades, by the way, sorry to tell you. And they're at the UG Mission right now, getting clean, sober, and stabilized. They had a baby while they're at the mission, and that baby comes to visit Grandma Debbie at the village, and I get to see that baby on the regular, and I'm here to tell you, oh my Lord, that baby melts me every time. What a doll. That is our why. Because Debbie is an image bearer. Debbie has something inside of herself. Turns out it's being badass, inspirational grandma lady to give to those around her. But because of the brokenness and injustice of our community and our relationships within the community, and we're all guilty of some of that ourselves, myself included, we got to work on that. She landed in a pile of mud under a bridge in the middle of town. We got to do better, and we are doing better. And together we can do more better, which is why I'm excited. And last slide here. To talk about what's next. Because like I said before, there's still thousands and there's more coming because of all the financial pressures and shifts in the housing market and the lack of availability and all the stuff I could tell you in another 7-hour talk. We got more people coming to our community streets that need help really bad. More people are coming. It's going to get a little bit worse before I think we're going to start to see it get better. So what we've learned at the village and why I'm here today is there's one factor that I keep seeing in the story, and I told you maybe 10% of the village story. The one thing that keeps like showing up in all the different parts of the village story and all the lives that are in it and touched by it is partnership. Partnership, partnership. We're moving the needle so quickly because we keep saying yes to pretty much anyone who would even try or be willing to want to partner with us. It doesn't matter. A lot of times people show up, Gabe, I want to partner. And I'm like, I don't know where to put you, but yeah, come on in. And then keep them busy. And then 3 months later, oh geez, there's this thing and we got to find God. You need to send us this person because this thing is the thing. We got to figure this out. We need a person who can figure this. You need to send us that person. And I spin around. I'm like, ha, you just got here early, didn't you? You came to volunteer 3 months ago. I didn't know why. You just showed up a little too early. You're here for this. You're already here. And click and go. And the more partners we amass to this story and grow this story out with, the more of those click and goes we're going to have, the more of those people that are going to go from bridge to flourishing to stable to giving that gift back to helping their kids be inspired to, again, and at the end of the day, this is all kingdom of heaven on earth stuff in a very, very wild, crazy, unexpected story. But it is so God at work. And I can only imagine that if we partner together more and more over time, the village will grow. It's God's work there will be spread out further. It will multiply more. And right now, I'm very loud. So, this is what I see. And then we'll pray. And then we'll enjoy the sunshine. Somewhere right now, in our community, in a very sad place, they'll break your heart times a million, is soul. Away from you. He knows we want to see right now, today. You are the founder. said, that's God. And I hear tell, you go to church to learn about God. Can we pray? Father, just want to say thank you for this morning, for this beautiful home that is yours, and for your kids inside of it, and for your kids that have come through already, for the kids that are coming, for the ways you're going to use this kingdom of heaven on earth place to grow more of that. Lord, we thank you for that. We ask for your wisdom, your guidance, your favor, your providence, your provision, your grace, your mercy, your counsel for all the saints here and how they keep moving forward, don't pray, walk, close by, how they move forward in your will for your glory, Lord, helping more and more people in this community who are alone, needing to meet your son, needing to feel that sweetness of belonging. So, Lord, thank you for all that. We are expectant of the answer of this prayer over the seasons to come. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to meet these awesome folks. Thank you for the opportunity to be a part of Everyone Village. I thank you that you're doing Everyone Village at all. I thank you that you continue to do lots of versions of it in our community. Lord, you're sweet, you're beautiful, you're breathtaking, and we're so grateful for you in our lives and in our community. Whatever happens for the rest of today, God, may we take you with us and be good ambassadors of your kingdom of heaven on earth. Be a little bit of light, be a little bit of joy. And all these things we say in the name of Jesus Christ, our awesome Lord and Savior. Amen. Thank you very much. It was a pleasure to yak at you guys for a while.
Thanks.